This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. Of Portals and Portents by Leslie Herron. Chapter 25, Feldspar. Eric was never much for philosophical ponderances, but whenever he imagined the afterlife, if it even existed, it would be a void of nothingness, calm and peaceful. Or, failing that, white puffy clouds and pearly gates, perhaps even the fires of damnation. But he never would have pictured them all happening at once. He pulled down his arms, blinking rapidly. He was still standing on the ship, as it flickered with fire and smoke billowing around him. The afternoon sun glittered off every surface, and the ringing in his ears nearly deafened him to the continued sounds of explosions. Wraith had protected him from the worst of the shrapnel blast, but several cuts and gashes on his exposed limbs bled freely. The ship had been shattered into pieces, but through the smoke and the haze, Eric could see purple magic coalescing around it and him, holding the divided sections together. He shot a glance over to the king. The white, scar-like vines, the ones he had tried so hard to hide, were branching up his neck, glowing a faint purple as he buckled to one knee under the immense strain of holding the ship aloft. Eric brought a hand up to scratch at his head, wincing as he found a cut there. Okay, so he wasn't going to die outright in a fiery explosion, but his twin could only hold this for so long. Another rocket detonated around them, creating a shockwave across the remaining deck that knocked him off his feet. Gnashing his teeth, Elias raised his glowing eyes to look ahead.
I need a direction. We're losing altitude and fast.
Eric nodded as he pushed himself upright.
On it.
A quick glance to where the arrow had been showed him nothing. That section of the ship was gone. Spinning on the spot, he saw no sign of their rudimentary compass. And, with all the debris from the ship, even if it was still intact, it would be like looking for a needle in a pile of other needles. He spun around once more and saw Atlas, currently with one leg over the ledge, ready to time his jump.
Where do you think you're going?
Eric rushed over, grabbing hold of the mage's robe and hauling him back on board.
I still need your help.
Atlas hit the deck hard, but quickly twisted out of the man's grasp.
Oi!
Scrambling to his feet once more, he offered him a hateful one-eyed glare.
I'm done. I've more than repaid my debt.
Eric held up a hand.
Not until we find this so-called genius child. You do that, and we're square.
Atlas shook his head in disbelief.
We're in a sinking ship, held aloft by shadows, surrounded by enemies on all sides, and you're still worried about finding some kid.
I can't hold this forever.
Elias strained under the pressure that using Ravaria's magic was causing. Sweat poured down his body, and his muscles shook with agony. The old goddess's voice whispered against his ear, hungrily urging him to relinquish control to her. Eric threw his hands up.
I'm working on it. We lost the arrow.
You've lost more than that if you think I'm still helping.
Atlas offered the doctor a rude hand gesture before moving back to the edge, looking for an opportunity to drop without dying. Shifting his attention, Eric looked up to take in the city. He could make out rustic Victorian-style homes and buildings between the flaps of the massive black and gold flags. A glittering haze floated through the city as the sun moved towards the western horizon, casting long shadows from the sprawling complex of the university and the remnants of what used to hold up the disk above them. They didn't have long before night would fall upon them, and he'd have to navigate in and out of a foreign city in the dark.
We need to get out of here, and fast. I can't protect you much longer if we get hit again.
Wraith had a point. Eric didn't think the ship, or even Elias, could handle another full round of missiles. As one exploded in the air near the ship, sending another wave rippling across the deck, an idea came to him, and he couldn't help the tiny smile it brought to his lips.
What are you thinking about?
Just trust me. As he turned his attention back to the Arcanist, that hint of a smile transformed into a deep frown. That defiant look he saw only reminded him of his own brother, callous and short-sighted. He was done asking. Without thinking or convincing himself otherwise, he grabbed hold of Atlas's robes and forced him halfway over the railing and eliciting a scream of surprise.
You either help me find the boy.
His voice had lost its gentle touch as he let go of the mage's robes for just a heartbeat, tipping him further out over the edge.
Or I help you down to the ground.
Atlas scrabbled to find purchase on anything solid, the wind stealing his hat and whipping his long copper hair around his face as he hung there, desperate not to fall. He looked over his shoulder. The sight of the city, still a dizzying height below them, caused his heart to hammer against his ribs, and he nodded furiously.
Okay, okay, I'll help.
What are you doing? He is a friend.
Hauling the man back onto the level footing of the ship, Eric ripped free a splintered shaft of wood from the destroyed railing and tossed it to the Arcanist.
Do it.
He watched as Atlas made quick work of the spell, pressing an end into one of his many cuts, and, after a few muttered words, it pointed off towards the massive building to the northwest. He spun, facing the king.
Stay in the air as long as you can. We need their attention on you so we can sneak inside.
He motioned to their destination with a lift of his hand.
When you've been shot down, meet us in there. We'll go on ahead, but I have a feeling I'll need your help getting in and out of there.
Elias nodded, blinking the sweat out of his eyes.
All right.
Eric turned and started jogging towards Atlas.
Wraith, you're up.
What? Oh, this is not a good idea.
Laughing at the wide-eyed surprise on the Arcanist's face, Eric snatched the man up in his arms and launched them both over the side of the ship. He wasn't sure the area of effect of Wraith's protective shield, so he tucked the mage in close.
Are you insane?
As a building rapidly rose to greet them, diamond-hard shadow wrapped around their bodies. It was an odd sensation, smashing through the tiled roof like a comet, but never actually feeling it. They shattered past two floors and out through a wall before forming a crater in what used to be the cobblestone street. As the dust settled and the shadow armor began to dissipate, Eric climbed to his feet, setting a hyperventilating Atlas on wobbly legs.
Time to go.
If there was one thing growing up on the streets Piper could say she was thankful for, it would be her instincts. Years of fending for herself and her brother had honed her gut into a razor-sharp instrument, one that warned her the moment something, anything, felt even the slightest bit off. And right now, it was screaming at her. Alphonse had sent them off with nothing more than a location, a lock combination, and a borrowed lieutenant's coat. But as she and her brother, the tiny merc, and their lupine companion walked through the empty halls of a shuttered and abandoned wing of the college, the dozens of soldiers he had warned them about were nowhere to be found. The only guard they had stumbled across in this derelict portion of the school was a single boy, hardly older than she was, snoozing against the side of a barrel. And upon seeing Winter in his military jacket, he gave a half-awake salute and went back to sleep. Piper bit at her lip as they rounded the corner to see a door chained together with a heavy padlock. This was a school, not a prison. The rooms were never meant to contain anyone, hence the added security. But even that measure felt minimal, like there was a lack of effort. She placed a hand on her brother's arm, pulling him back and stepping in front of him before looking down at the tiny Merc.
I don't like this. It feels bad. This is way too easy.
Running his hands through his hair, Evan gave it a good flip before he responded.
Oh, absolutely. This is 110% a trap, you betcha. But,
he paused, pointing towards the door.
That's the only way we're going to get the prince back.
Tugging at the collar of his borrowed coat, Winter exhaled the nervous breath he had been holding.
Are y'all sure about this? What did I just say? Of course not.
Evan rolled his eyes.
Oh, I heard you. I just mean, are you sure about needing all of us to get involved? What if we all get caught? Shouldn't we leave someone to rescue us? I thought you was part wolf, not part chicken. Besides, that's why we left Unit 2 behind. That, and he was too big for the window we snuck in through.
I really don't want to start my time on a new world on the wrong foot, Winter muttered to himself, tugging at the collar again. And ending up in jail, or worse, is definitely the wrong foot.
Atticus offered the wolf a genuine smile.
If you're worried about that, my sister could hold your hand. That always makes me feel better when I'm scared.
I'll do no such thing.
Piper rolled her eyes before exchanging a look with the tiny dwarf.
All right. I don't like it, but it's better than standing around here like we're in our Sunday best, waiting to get caught.
Good.
Evan cocked a grin and motioned them onward.
So here's the plan. I'm going to budge in, knives blazing, and cause a distraction.
He then pointed over to the tall man.
Then in comes Werewolf. You get all hairy and... I told you, it doesn't work like that.
Winter moved his hand from the borrowed coat to scratch at his bun.
I haven't spent the last 6 years of my life in intensive yoga therapy to just throw it all away now.
Were you guys sure we couldn't have brought Unit 2?
Atticus fidgeted with his fingers.
I know he's got the proper protocols and verification numbers. We could just walk the prince out.
Evan shook his head.
Ugh, this mission is all about stealth. You can't get much less stealthy than an 8-foot-tall copper death machine.
He whipped his attention back to the lupine.
And you're gonna need to commit to something. I can't cause a distraction, defend the kids, and get the prince out.
Can I commit to standing guard in the hallway? Piper put her hands up, halting the incoming argument.
Atticus and I can fend for ourselves. After Evan starts a distraction, we all go in.
She gestured to the door, brooking no argument. Evan narrowed his eyes for a long moment, the tension growing in the quiet hall before he was sure the werewolf nodded his agreement. He turned around and jumped, grabbing hold of the massive padlock. A spin here, a twist there, and, with the correct combination of numbers in place, the lock opened with a snap. Licking his lips, Evan caught the attention of the others and, with a simple finger countdown, readied himself for what was sure to be nothing short of pure pandemonium. In one swift motion, he let go of the chain, letting it slide around the handles noisily as he threw his weight against them and the doors swung open with a clatter. The tiny Merc launched himself inside with a battle cry, pulling his daggers from their holsters and brandishing them as he landed.
All right, he swiped left. Who wants some? Then right.
When nothing but silence responded, he paused, straightening up to take a second glance at his surroundings. Behind him, the others piled in with their own shouts, nearly tripping over him as they stumbled into what looked like an old chemistry lab. The chairs had been piled near the far wall, and the tables had been dismantled for the wood to bar the windows shut. The room, despite what he had been expecting, was completely devoid of anyone. Evan climbed up onto one of the few remaining chairs.
Do you think they gave Applesauce the wrong information?
He squinted out through a small gap in one of the nearby boarded-up windows. Across the room,
A scruffy, dark-haired face leaned cautiously out from the depths of a supply closet to see what all the commotion was about. Recognizing the intruders, a smile lit up Varen's features as he strode into view, beaming at them with an armful of candles. He set them down on the nearest table when he saw their weapons were drawn. Piper felt relief wash over her. The prince was standing before her, uninjured save for the deep bruise settling in around his right eye and a cut in the brow that he was lifting in question at her. When she had failed to explain herself, he held up his hands, pinching both forefingers to his thumbs several times with a frown. Confused, Piper looked over at the tiny merc.
"We're here to rescue you, duh!"
Evan jumped off the chair and trotted up to his friend, gesturing towards the door with a finger.
"Come on, let's get the lead out and skedaddle before they trigger the trap."
Silently groaning, Varen pinched the bridge of his nose, before he used the same hand to point at the single heavy manacle clamped around his right arm. The chain wrapped around the table and connected to a large, hastily welded loop against the far wall. It allowed him plenty of room to wander about, but not enough freedom to escape.
"Pfah! Easy peasy!"
Evan began digging through the many pockets of his pants before finding two metallic objects. He scrambled atop the single table, opening one hand several times.
"Give it here!"
Atticus stepped up to the prince and lifted the heavy canvas bag off his shoulders.
"I'll have your stuff! I made sure the guards didn't take it when they arrested you."
He held it out, offering it up with a grin that stretched from ear to ear. Piper pushed her brother aside.
"Not right now."
She looked over at the man that so closely resembled her friend and sighed.
"What are you still doing here? You've been running with short stuff there for how long? And you never even learned to pick a lock?"
"Hey."
Evan shot her a look, then raised an eyebrow.
"Now that she mentions it, yeah. Why didn't you just break yourself out?"
Varen sheepishly glanced over to an open book on the table. The classroom had come with a fully stocked library, and, well... Piper sighed. It was surrounded by spent candle stubs, and suddenly the armload of wax tapers made sense.
"Seriously?"
She snatched up the book and turned the cover over to read... "The Tale of the Sun and the Moon." She looked up at him with a frown before she passed it over to her brother, who quickly cracked it open and began reading.
"Another storybook? We're trying to save your life, and you're sitting here all cozied up reading bedtime stories? You're as bad as Atticus."
He wanted to argue, to tell the girl that that wasn't just any book. It was the untold story of the gods from his world, found in a classroom in this one. The story it told was...
"Shush!"
Evan held up a hand.
"Anyone else hear that?"
Varen cocked his head. The sound of rushing footsteps and raised voices. Piper had opened her mouth to say something, but he pushed a finger against her lips as he tugged her and her brother towards the open supply closet. He pulled free Evan, still dangling from his manacles and complaining loudly, and handed him over to the girl. Then he made a shushing gesture as he turned back to motion for the lichen to join them. The voices were getting louder, nearly upon them. Winter dove into the room and spun to face the prince. The two locked eyes. And, despite the lack of words, the look on his face was clear. "No matter what happens, keep them safe." Varen shut the closet as quietly as he could and spun just as the main door to the room burst open. Eric strode in, hauling a harried-looking atlas behind him and staring at a shaft of bloody wood in his hands. His eyes rose to meet Varen's, then flicked down to the wood and back up again.
"Are you kidding me?"
He spun on Atlas.
"Can you track anyone but him?"
"Prime Minister, Your Holiness?"
Chester looked up at the sound of his title, licking his lips as he set down his quill in time to see a monk enter the room. This man, clearly dressed in robes of black and gold, was a soldier beneath all that canvas. He didn't need to speculate on the purpose of this man's visit. He could still feel the rattling of the windows. A moment ago, he had been discussing the western border with the scholar and some mountain range that the Brotherhood was planning an expedition to cross. Then alarms, explosions, chaos. The only logical answer was that Elias had come to claim his city at last. He motioned for the information anyway.
Yes, what is it?
The man remained still, staring past him towards the other two figures in the room. Chester's eyes flickered from the long rifle in his hands, then over to Ruby. He faltered at the sight of pure joy on the woman's face. But it was the scholar that broke the silence.
What is it, my pupil? Unfortunately, we were unable to destroy the ship outright, and there has been a delay in setting up further defenses, as several towers were sabotaged prior to their arrival. We have confirmed sightings of two of the targets entering the college, with a third headed in that direction as well, just as you had foretold, Enlightened One.
The soldier bowed deeply.
Shall we proceed as planned?
The towering golden figure turned.
Well, Prime Minister, it is your city, your call.
Chester felt a cold chill run down his spine as that golden mask, ever smiling, bore into his soul. There was a weight in the room, on his shoulders even, that he swore hadn't been there a moment before. An electric anticipation. He shifted his attention around the others of the room, and his eyes landed on the two framed photographs on his desk. If he did this, he'd lose Piper's respect and push her away for good. But as his gaze slid over to his other children, to Danny and Theo, he felt a resolve, a strength and confidence return to him. He was father to them all, and a father does what he has to protect them, even if they hated him for it. He looked up, locking eyes with the scholar, and gave the man a firm nod.
Proceed.
Winter, as a rule, enjoyed learning new things. Unfortunately, learning that he was apparently claustrophobic by being shoved into a closet that was barely large enough to contain a classroom's worth of materials and cleaning supplies with three other people was not the kind of revelation he preferred to have at a time like this. Think Kalman thoughts, Zen through the beauty of nature. He forced images of bees and wildflowers into his mind. The wind whipping across his face as he rode his bike down to the farmer's market. He had just exhaled a deep breath through pursed lips when he heard the muffled sound of the door in the other room bursting open.
Oi!
Piper hissed as she tapped the lichen on the forearm.
Budge up! I want to see what's happening!
She squeezed past him, dropping to her hands and knees, pressing her face flat against the floor. She squinted out from the gap beneath the door to see the prince's boots turn in time as two other sets of shoes joined him. Curious, she thought, as one pair appeared to be similar to Varen's, simple and leather, while the other looked like sandals. She frowned as she strained to see anything more than shins and toes. Behind her, Winter took another calming breath.
Stall selling fresh baked vegan bread. Kombucha tea. What are they doing to him?
Evan's voice was barely a whisper, almost missed among the shouting from the other side of the door.
I don't know what's happening out there, but from what I can see, they don't look like soldiers.
Piper climbed to her feet. She gently pressed her ear against the door. The others' shouting had become so loud she could almost make out what they were saying.
Avocado toast, sprinkled with everything bagel seasoning. Eco-friendly fuzzy socks. Wild dandelion root coffee.
She nearly gasped aloud when she heard the one word she would recognize anywhere. Piper spun around, squinting behind the lichen to see her brother reading the content label of a cleaning solution.
They're looking for Atticus!
Her brother looked up from the jar in his hands.
Who, me?
The Hind's main mushrooms. A bundle of...
Winter's serene visualizations shattered as the hair on the back of his neck stood on end. Something was wrong.
I'm not going to let them lay a finger on him.
She had just reached for the doorknob when she felt a hand snap out and grip her wrist.
Hey, let go or else.
The walls, still closing in around him, began to murmur with a secret, one that even the glass bottles could hear as they rattled gently against their shelves. No matter how much deep breathing, meditation, or yoga he did, Winter could not purge the beast beneath the surface. Not entirely. He plucked Piper off the ground and pulled her in. She watched as he did the same with Atticus. He was shielding them.
What? Oh.
Her words were cut short when she heard a low animal growl come from his throat. Winter pulled the two kids in closer, pushing them against his body. The tiny dwarf could sense it too. The complaints from him fell away as he tucked himself in against the trio. The prince had trusted him with this task. Keep them safe, no matter what. There was more shouting as another voice entered the room. But that wasn't the danger. Winter could sense it before it happened. He spun around, placing himself between the kids and the door. The bottles rattled harder this time as he felt the floor begin to rumble. Piper winced as she felt fingernails dig into her skin.
Ouch! Watch it, Fido!
Her eyes glanced over to the hand on her arm, and her whole body ran cold. The skin on his knuckles, which were shaking with the effort to control himself, had begun to tear, revealing deep auburn fur beneath. She gasped when she felt claws puncture her arm. If she didn't act fast, this room, barely large enough for them, would be full of what she could only assume was an uncontrollable beast. Explosions in the far distance followed swiftly by more, closer, each round of detonations zeroing in on their location. There was a faint echo of a scream somewhere off in the distance. Piper felt Winter's body ripple with fear, tensing as he attempted to pull them in closer.
Hey!
She tapped him on the cheek, her breath stuck in her throat as her fingers touched coarse fur there as well.
Don't wolf out on us now, man bun!
As the world around them shook, Piper wrenched her arm free from Winter's grasp to face the lichen. He was fighting to control himself now, and by the looks of it, losing. His breath was heavy, and those animal-like teeth sent a cold shiver down her spine. But she did the only thing she could think of and flung herself against him, wrapping her arms around him.
It's okay. We'll be okay.
A sound like a hurricane had reached them, punctuated by glass jars shattering all around them as the tiny space began to collapse, wood and mortar raining down. She pulled her brother close, murmured those words over and over again, even as the wooden floor beneath them buckled and cracked. She continued her mantra, despite being drowned out by the roar of chaos around them. She clenched her eyes tight around her panicked tears, her last thought drifting to Vel and how he would save them if he was here. And, as quickly as it had started, the violent shaking and rumbling faded to silence. The four of them remained, holding one another with eyes clenched shut for some time. It wasn't until Piper felt the lichen's grip on her relax that she remembered to breathe again. She peeked open an eye just as he shrugged off the rubble of the room and collapsed to his side in an exhausted heap.
Are you okay?
Piper put her hands on her brother's shoulders, taking him in. He was uninjured, but terrified. He gave her a weak nod, and she turned her attention to Evan, who was checking on their guardian. they appeared to be in the same state, scared but unharmed. She reached for the door, pushing against it. It fell outwards, clattering to the ground, and she gasped. Dull, flickering rays of afternoon sunlight were streaming in through what had once been the ceiling to this wing of the college. It was gone, destroyed now. She stumbled out of the closet and onto surprisingly intact ground. A crescent section of the room just outside their hiding place still stood, somehow shielded from the attack. Her eyes landed on the crater that used to be the chemistry lab, and a surge of panic flooded her senses. She spun around, looking for any sign of Varen, calling out his name as she did. All she found was a heavy chain, not incinerated, but snapped in half. We thank you for joining us for this chapter of the novel Of Portals and Portents, Book 4 by Leslie Herron, in this ongoing series available here on Tall Tale TV. You can find links in the description to where you can listen to all her books and novellas, with new chapters appearing as they are being written and recorded.
All right, everyone. According to the map Alamo gave us, we need to climb in through that window. Someone give me a boost.
This is a bad idea.
Oof! Can it? The time to complain was earlier.
Wait, it was?
Okay, Unit 2, toss in those three, then hop inside yourself.
Hey! Hands off!
Oof!
Mr. Evan, I cannot complete your task. I'm afraid I do not have the ability to hop, as I do not have any legs.
Oh, I could make you some legs. We're not too far from my old laboratory.
No, just climb in then.
You do realize he is way too big to fit in through that tiny window, right?
What? No, he's not.
I concur with Mr. Blade. According to my calculations...
Pshaw! You can make it if you try. Come on.
Very well. I shall attempt. I do believe I am stuck.
Yeah, on second thought, maybe you should stand guard here.
I'll stay behind and help him out.
Not a chance, Rover. We have a prince to rescue.
You're so mean.
Tell me, do you have trouble judging size because everything is so big by comparison?
Hey, say that again.
I'll show you big by comparison.